The expenditure period is 15 years, so after 15 years you couldn't forward any more dollars to the project, but they can still receive increment assistance via a pay-as-you-go municipal revenue obligation, things like that. And the chart, the left is the construction year. And I want you to take note of this. The construction year, two columns over to the right is valuation year, and several columns to the right is the revenue year. So this shows that if the start of construction in 2019, that $9.3 million is not going to be assessed and valued until the year 2020, and you won't receive the tax collections on that until 2021. So the timing is a little bit confusing if you're not used to that, but I just wanted to point that out to you. So they're showing the build-out here of the value added through 9 years. The inflation increment, we're assuming a 1% inflation or appreciation factor. However, we're also assuming a 1% decrease rate in the tax rate. So if you'll see, the tax rate starts to go down from 24.92 per thousand down to 20.59 at the end. That basically offsets each other. You'll see in the green column or the highlighted column of tax increment that once the projects are up and running and producing taxable revenue, you're basically around the $1.547 million range per year. So that's kind of the offset on the inflation and the tax rate. So the total increment is reflected towards the middle of the page of how much value is being produced. That inflates every year slightly. And again, I kind of explained the revenue year and the tax increment that's produced on that. At the bottom of that page, you will see the future value of the increment, in other words, the nominal amount of increment that's produced over that period is $26.4 million. Let me know if there's any questions as I go, but if not, we can go to the next page. Yes?
Worksheet, it says 26 million, but you just told us the value was like 63 million.
The assessed value of the total project would be 63 million. The tax increment that's generated from that is the $26 million. 26 over that period. So the increment is the taxes that you get over the base value. Right. Okay.
Now, Frank, you've used a 20-year. Number, because that's what you do. What do we estimate this project to possibly get finished through?
Well, we can get to that in a subsequent page, but
okay.
But 20 years is the life of the tax increment district.
Correct.
So if you turn to the next page, it has all the boxes across the top. This is just a preliminary look. This is no way a final financing plan or anything like that, but it's just a what if we would structure this with general obligation bonds, taxable and non-taxable, and then also a municipal revenue obligation, and if there's any terms that you'd like me to further go ahead, let me know. It's ballparked right now that the general obligation bond for the utility extensions and the public roads of $3.8 million would be, again, a non-tax taxable issue. The taxable bond of the 2.74 for interior infrastructure and development incentive are because they are applicable to the project interior development itself and not for the greater public use. Like the utility extensions and the roadways. On the bottom part of that page, there's just the cost of issuance of that debt. There's bond counsel, disclosure counsel, rating agency fees, et cetera. So the GO bond 2018 and the $5.65 million, after you add in all the costs of doing so, and that includes a capitalized interest factor, because the first couple of years you're not receiving that increment as I explained, it has to be built, it has to be assessed, and then you receive the increment. So you capitalize a portion of the interest to carry the debt on that. So the totals are on the bottom. Under the municipal revenue obligation, $3.57 million, that goes down to the bottom of the net issue size, but then there's a note of unpaid and accrued interest on that of $1.38 million for a total of $4.9 million. That's future dollars all paid principal and interest. The reason for that, which we'll see on the next page, which is for me is the larger one, is the cash flow page. Now this takes that issuance numbers and lays them out by year and by issue. So on the left side, where it says projected revenue, again, that's that $26 million of the increment that's been provided at the bottom of that page for total revenues. There's a column for interest earnings. It has a 25 basis point factor in there. We're looking at what the interest might earn on those funds, but it's negligible, really. It won't move the needle materially. So, following across to the right, there's the GO bond of the 6.15. There's the taxable GO bond of 3.9, which is the interior infrastructure work. And the associated interest payments and principal payments on that. The principal payments on the GO debt starts at 2022, according to these preliminary projections. You'll notice then when you look over the MRO bond, there's interest accruing, but nothing's being paid during that period. The payments on the debt, on the bonds, are taking precedence. The municipal revenue obligation comes to the developer after the debt payments are being made. So you'll notice interest is accrued through 2025, and then interest starts to be paid in 2026 under the MRO. And it's only at the end of that term, starting in 2034, where the principal is paid. So it's a back-end payment of the principal amounts on that. And that's, obviously, if you look to the left, that shows that after the debt is retired, that's only when the developer would get the principal payments made on that. Going to the far right, or to the right even further, there's a administrative column for approximately $10,000 or so to cover administrative costs in administering the TID. Following across, the math just flows that under the balances, the annual column, there's a couple of red or a couple of parentheses, negative numbers in that. That's an annual amount, but the cumulative amounts stay in a positive manner. The principal outstanding reduces, and at the end of 2036, those obligations are extinguished, and those funds can then go back to the general funds for all the taxing districts if they close out the TID at that time.
Okay, thanks.
So I think that shows where the pieces go and how that lays out, and the priority of payments to the debt first and then the satisfying the MRO later.
Now, Frank, was this the recommendation of Ms. Gunderson in regards to the layout of GO bonds, taxable and untaxable?
Again, this is all very preliminary. It's saying the developer presents their numbers. That's their representation of what these costs are. We looked at it from the components, the extension of the infrastructure and the public roadways generally is a tax exempt. So that was used as a placeholder for that. This is nowhere near being finalized, so it's just kind of showing you that if we do these, incur these expenses and the assistance, that it will provide for itself and pay over the course of the TID.
Who came up with the projected interest rates in here then? Was that the developer or was that your the expertise of Ehlers?
That's ours. There's
projected
a
rates.
Yes, we are in the business of issuing bonds.
Yeah.
Almost daily.
Right.
And so we have a handle on what those interest rates would be. So they're shown in the columns, estimated rates, for example, starting at 2.6, and they increase to 3.6, and et cetera. So that's kind of current thinking, but again, nothing is is locked down. There's, you know, this isn't to this, all that will be locked down in a development agreement if and when that's negotiated.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Rosenberg, do you want to add any comment on this with your analysis?
Staff worked with Ehlers on the presentation of this from a financial standpoint. I would remind the Common Council that we were conservative in a number of different areas. There is no interest earnings on the accumulated balances, even though they are relatively small in this TID district, so there's no revenues there. We assumed a 1% reduction in annual property tax rates. I know most people feel like taxes go up year after year, but a few years ago, the tax rate did decline when the state changed taxing on vocational schools, and so that impacted TIDs, and we've included that conservatism in this particular set of projections. The TID does close a number of years earlier than it's required to under state statutes, and then returns the revenues that might come along in the TID back to the general fund to help support city operations. But I would remind the Common Council, the risk to the city here is that if at the end of the life of the TID did not yet extinguish all of its debt costs, that those debts come back to the city only and the other overlapping taxing authorities no longer contribute towards those payments, which is the whole structure of a TID here. So that's the risk to the city in putting this whole thing together. As Frank mentioned, the developer's agreement is yet to be negotiated and to written, but the developer has indicated that many of the major pieces associated with this development are now pretty much in place, and they are anxious to move forward, and you'll notice some pretty aggressive start dates in the dates listed in this particular set of documents.
Okay. Thank you. How about in our ability, Paul, to borrow funds? Within our policy restrictions, we still got a sizable amount available to us that we don't have to, and we're not infringing on any of our top-line borrowing capabilities?
The Finance Department reviewed with the Finance Committee, I believe it was at their May or June meeting, the city's debt situation. Mm-hmm. And as we looked at it at that point in time, this TID was contemplated in that analysis at a slightly different value, but there is plenty of room in the current policies that the city has relative to debt issuance to issue this debt.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the council? No?
Okay. You asked the question about the payoff. That's what it said, 16 years? Is that what it is, 16 years?
It's yes. The shaded area on the right side of the column.
17.
Then, do we have? Alderwoman Wilhelm had a question.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Yeah. So on the Ehlers contract, here, I guess page 37, we must be on the phase two where, because phase three states the middle. So phase two starts on page 35. And then covers page 36.
Yeah, this is phase one right now, just the feasibility.
Right. So okay. Phase two is sure. The next one, which all the time frames go with, correct?
Alderman, the original Ehlers contract proposal that you see in front of you, I believe, was presented to the city back in...
Correct, 2017.
Q1 or Q2 of 2017.
Correct.
Since that point in time, the developer has gone through a number of different... steps and negotiations, and the timeline that you see on page 24 is the current timeline that staff and the developer are working with.
So that's my question, because we have this contract. Do we have to insert this page, or are we just going to acknowledge that this is the steps in the contract versus the steps that are in here? Because these all mention plan commission, and these are, it just talks about public hearing, but it doesn't say the word plan commission. So are the wording for public hearing meaning public hearing for joint review or public hearing for plan commission? Because it's not clear in the timeline.
The timeline on page 30, 24, I believe, includes the term for community development authority. So staff is currently thinking that the public hearing will be held by the CDA on the timeline listed in here. And Ehlers put this together keeping in mind the statute requirements for the notices, the public hearing, and the timeline between the public hearing at the CDA and when Common Council can then take action, and then when the Joint Review Board has to take a look at it.
Well, that's quite a change from Plan Commission and public hearing that we were presented in the 2017 contract. So now we have a new proposal that has different dates, and it's the CDA.
That's correct.
Okay. I guess that would be up to the alderman of the district if he's comfortable with that. I mean, the Plan Commission has been looking at this from the get-go, so I...
Understanding, though, that in order that this does not contemplate that the CDA would have control over the TID, that would remain with the Common Council, because there's no... The statutory requirements for the CDA to have control over the TID are not met with this particular TID, and so the Common Council would retain control over the TID.
I'm just looking at it. If this was in my district and my constituents were well aware of this time frame and this document that was signed and presented by the council, and this is not being changed, and now we're going to this different process, I'm just not sure how comfortable my constituents would be with it. And I'm going to the district dollar person to see if he's okay with that, because it's quite a change in the process.
I agree. It's his district, but I agree totally. If I would ever contemplate going through CDA when it's not something that is under their jurisdiction, basically. It's this body, so you would do a plan commission at the minimum. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and the other thing is we're not amending this contract, which is signed. There's no discussion of amendment to what's laid out in this already signed contract. So just somebody needs to make this clear so the public can follow the process, and that's what I'm asking for.
Council?
The city director of finance can correct me if I'm wrong, but I got this query on the run last week. And with regard to the CDA, that is the Ehlers recommendation. And Mr. Roman, correct me if I'm wrong, but with regard to tax incremental district developments, pretty much the standard form statewide is community development authorities in the larger community. And part of the relatively brief discussion, and the mayor was involved, was not only whether or not the public hearing would be before the Community Development Authority, but I understood also whether or not what would come ultimately before the council for the decision was whether or not the Community Development Authority in effect operate financially, et cetera, this tax incremental district the same way the Community Development Authority operated tax incremental district number 2, the Franklin Business Park, which many in the development, government, and private sector realm have said is the most successful business park development under TID law in Wisconsin. So I did hear from the director of finance that for this development, that's no can do on some technical basis.
My understanding is that in order for the CDA to have control of it, there needs to be a blight determination, and there's no request for that in this case.
I understood that that was part of the Ehlers review of this and the recommendation for Community Development Authority. If that's the fact, then that's the fact. So then that issue will not be before the council.
So is this document a boilerplate document, and you just put CDA on here, or the wishes were CDA, or because, as the council, as council said, typically TIFs are go through a CDA setup. I mean, I see Alderman here, Taylor, wanting to chime in, so.
I'm going to chime in because, okay, so Ballpark Commons, that went to the CDA? CDA
no.
ever looked at,
no.
you're talking about blight? It's a landfill, and that never was talked about. Yet this development is being talked about going through the CDA. Frankly, I want this body to be over it because we're actually here. We have a mayor that's been at less meetings in the last 6 months than you. That'd be running the CDA? Forget that. This, there's no way with this. I mean, whatever's in here needs, and I mean, I'm not the alderman of the district, but I'll tell you, this is, I've been doing this a long time. This is weird, like a little bait and switch or something like that. Something doesn't sit well with me at all. There's no way I would agree to move forward with this project as going through the CDA at all.
Okay.
Not necessary.
Alderman Nelson.
I just want a clarification, and if council's, you know, if we've got to slow for a minute until we get exactly where we're going with this, and page 24 is going to be the document that we're going to live and die by, we've got to make sure we've got everything in a row and not, you know, if we're veering off for whatever reason, it's got to be made clear as to why. Because I'm not familiar with this whole process, so that's why I'm deferring
sure.
to council.
Okay, council.
If the only issue with regard to the timeline is public hearing in front of the Community Development Authority, instead of the plan commission, there's a motion to move forward with this project. It'll be changed to plan commission.
And that time
and right. you can add to the motion and delete the Development Authority CDA from the proposed timetable and insert plan commission.
Just so you know, the CDA meets an hour before the plan commission. So if you want to leave it in there for the CDA to look at it, and as well as add the plan. You can do that too. So
I just don't understand why the CDA is involved in this at all. They weren't involved in Ballpark Commons. Why are they involved in this? There's no blight. There was more blight there if you ever go on that path. I just don't understand why. I mean, no one's telling me this is why. Somehow, this came from somewhere. I want to know who.
Yeah, the mayor.
Okay.
Can I have a
book? Ellers did the Ballpark Commons, mm-hmm. ran all the numbers, and they weren't telling us to go to CDA last I checked. I don't remember that at all. So now it is? Something's not sitting well.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm fine with moving forward this with the understanding that we would be entertaining page 36 as the process and having the dates updated and clarified to the council. I mean, you can just give us a sheet of paper, but I think we should follow the process that we approved this contract with in the first place. And then So if the city attorney could just fashion something that would work with the motion that would be following the meeting process that's on page 36 with the update on the dates provided at a later date to the council members individually.
Isn't that like technical corrections? He's getting that direction of us is going through the plan commission process and the common council process, not the CDA process. Yeah. So wherever it says CDA, strike that and make the changes. I mean, at least that's somebody has to make a motion, but I think that's what I'm hearing from at least a couple of us.
Well, mm-hmm. Before we go to page 36, when was page 36 generated? I had heard comments that this was an original generation and that there has been many things that have been resolved and already put into motion on this. So before we go with Alderwoman Wilhelm's recommendation, are there items on here that have already been exhausted?
Oh, yeah, well, then that's
okay.
Fine. Moving forward, we're saying. Moving forward.
Okay. So, council, do you have a recommended motion?
I did not study the page 36 part of the Ehlers contract, which I believe dates back to May of 2017, and frankly, I was surprised of its appearance in the packet when I went through the agenda over the weekend. I'm not seeing anything on page 36 on a quick read here. That's not going to happen.
Right. 36 is good, I think. Nothing to say with CDA. Exactly.
I'll make sure that council...
36 is 5.
That council with revisions and corrections.
Technical corrections. That's all you need.
Technical corrections. That way you've got a chance to intertwine it.
Technical changes. And looking at page 36, all that is the process that complies with statute.
That's right.
And what the consultant does.
Okay.
They prepare what's before the council this evening.
And I
they
like
prepare
it.
The resolutions. They get published. They go on an agenda in front of the public hearing body, which the council says should be the plan or will be the plan commission. And then ultimately to the common council or... approval or denial.
Then just make 24 match it and put the word plan commission on page 24 somewhere.
Because
I don't see plan commission on page 24.
The issue is September 20th. September 20th has it go into the CDA.
I'm going to change that.
And change that to go to plan commission. It's on September 20th.
Well, you got August 21st, Community Development Authority makes a motion. So you want to spearhead it right at the top?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah, that's true.
Make sure it's the plan commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus that August 20th.
Is the wrong date because that's today.
It's optional.
Oh.
Which is why when I saw it
which
last
today.
Week,
today.
I it's optional.
Okay. It's an option.
In typing on that page.
Okay.
The purpose really of page 24 is to lay out the timing of what has to be done to meet public notice periods, et cetera. We can, again, adjust technical language, but...
There shouldn't be that much of a change, Frank, because CDA and plan are the same date, so all notices are similar.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Okay, is there a motion to proceed with the tax incremental district number 6, mixed-use district projected plan development with technical corrections?
Changes.
Technical changes by city council.
So moved.
I have a first.
City attorney.
Second.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 5 in favor. None against. Item G6. Thank you. Have a good evening, you guys. Well, you're not done, Kelly.
No, I'll be back.
Standards, findings, and decisions of the City of Franklin's Common Council upon the application of Milwaukee County Department of Administration Services, applicant BPC County Land LLC.
I'll make the motion to adopt the standards and findings for the special exception of the natural resources.
Second.
I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 5 in favor, none against. G7, page 121. Gotta get there. Is a resolution conditionally approving a preliminary plat for Faithway Reserve Subdivision, 7711 through 7725 South 76th Street and 7700 West Faith Drive. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, I just have a couple comments on here that, I guess this is another one. I don't see any sidewalks, and there's no stormwater information. This is another project where an existing stormwater basin is going to be used. So I don't know what the calculations are going to be on that. I don't know if there's going to be a homeowners association who's going to be taking care of the stormwater basin. I have questions about where snow storage is with the tight cul-de-sac, especially on that one lot that's not this lot distance of the UDO as required or recommended by staff. And then also the fire department's comments about putting the fire hydrants, which are not on the plat, say they're going to coordinate it after the preliminary plat approval, but what if for some reasons we can't, find places for fire hydrants because it's not all shown on there. So those are the concerns I have. I'm not going to support the project because I don't think the preliminary plat has enough details for me, but it's I believe it's in Alderman Mayer's district.